Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. What happens when a happily single woman with 70 in the crosshairs interviews a boomer online dating coach with 70 recently in the rear view? Well, lots of laughter, mostly. My guest today had lots of practice with online dating before she learned how to sort the toads from the princes. Deb then translated her experience and knowledge into a course designed to set you up to be safe, to be smart, and to find your Mr. or Ms. adorable. Whether you're thinking about it or nervous about it, Deb shares a lot of tips to help you. Listen now. Listeners, today's conversation is going to be interesting. My guest is a boomer dating coach. I'm not sure what stance I've voiced on this podcast over the years, but I'm single. Happily single, with good friends, both men and women. I can see you in my peripheral vision, Deb. anyways, good friends, both men and women, and I love my male friends with no intention of ever dating them. I will be honest, though. I've done the online dating thing, met some nice men, met a few that were too much like toads than the frogs who might be princes. I've dated friends of friends. And I've even asked a man to write his phone number on my arm with my lipstick. He seemed that possible. I'm incredibly fortunate to have kids who accept my forays into relationships with so much grace and not a question. Despite it all, and the fact that I'm happily single, I'm smart enough to never say never. So let's jump in. Deb Dutcher, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Thank you, Ms. Agnes. I'm so happy to be here.
Don't start that Ms. business, because I did actually interview. No, I did interview somebody from the Southern States. They were lovely and so polite. And they called me Miss Agnes. I kept on saying, it's just Agnes, honestly.
We'll just do Agnes.
There we go. Deb, 100 first dates. That's an optimist. Tell us who you are and how you came to be a dating coach for older women.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I am 71, and I had a first marriage that I met the guy at 19, and we were married when I was 21, so I wasn't very experienced, and neither was he. We had a lovely marriage, and in year 20, we couldn't have children, so we decided to adopt. We got two older children. They were drugs in utero. They had a lot of issues. It basically just tore our relationship apart. So by the 32nd year of being together, 29th year of marriage, we separated. I found myself single and alone for the first time in my life at 51. I was shattered. I was crushed. I felt unlovable, unworthy. I tried to commit suicide three times. I was so demoralized. And I was a corporate professional. I was a vice president of engineering in the Silicon Valley. I had $1 million stock portfolio and I couldn't function. So I ended up on a dating site, started dating people, had about 45 first dates on that go round because I had no clue. I literally didn't know anything except I'm just going to look for the opposite of my first husband because that didn't work out. So I ended up marrying poorly on the rebound, and I tried to make it work, it's just not worth trying to make it work. Relationships need to flow 80% of the time. Yes, put in some effort 20%, but if you have to work at it 95% of the time, you're in the wrong one. And it deteriorated over the years. So by the 14th year I ran, in the year of COVID, 2020, I ran in October and found myself alone again, but this time I was kind of like, oh, I know how to do this. I'll just date online again. Not in a time of COVID with lockdown, with everybody wearing masks and no restaurants and no movie theaters and no church, no social club, I couldn't go to a concert. I couldn't go to my chorus. I couldn't do a darn thing. So I'm spending my whole time online trying to find someone worthy of marching on the bay in the cold wind, because that's the only place we could go, because you can't bring them back to your place on the first date. You're certainly not going to go to their place. I ended up dating a bunch of guys again, but I had to leave the Bay Area and move to where I am now, which is called Rancho Cordova, California, north of Sacramento, heat zone, which I didn't know. And I started dating, but with a purpose. And the purpose was to find someone I could connect to because I'd become a senior stray. I had lost one marriage, and that adoptive daughter was cutting me out of her life. And then I had lost a second marriage where I had four grandchildren I no longer got to have contact with after 18 years of knowing them. And they were all going into their 20s. And my family lives out of state, and I was shattered. I was demoralized, but I knew how to date. I knew how to bring someone to me. And I started building my little system, the Finding Mr. Adorable system. And I found a guy, and he was great. But when you visualize and you figure out what it is you want, don't forget to put down politically compatible and ideologically aligned. He was everything else but. And it flowed for about 6 to 8 months, and then the real him came out. And I'm sitting there going, what the heck am I doing with this man? I will never live with him, because we were talking about living together. And I went, no. So fast forward, I break up on January 18, 2023. I put up a new profile on January 19, 2023, and I visualized exactly what I wanted right before I put the profile up. And I started dating new guys. So another 8 or 9. So I'd up to almost 100 at that point. And I narrowed it down to 3. And I picked my guy, and we're together 16 months. And he's exactly what I visualized. So I manifested him just like I manifested everything else in my life. So you really have to be careful what you visualize, because you can manifest exactly what you ask for, but it might not be the right thing. But you might get it anyway. So I took my process, because I'm a certified health coach, and I have tons of clients that get Sexy, Lean, and Strong, which is my book, Sexy, Lean, and Strong After 50. And then they want a date. And I went, oh, they need to talk to me, because you can get in so much trouble on these dating sites. And I got into lots of trouble. You and I can talk about all my war stories, and people will be going, oh my God, how did she even let that happen? But, you know, I knew how to take care of myself, so I never got in trouble. I just had cute, fun, interesting, weird escapades. That's what I'm going to call it. Cute, fun, interesting, weird escapades. So that's how I became a dating coach, because my clients needed it. And I had posted on TikTok to vent, because none of my family or friends wanted to hear anything about my new dating escapades. So I got on TikTok, and I just made this TikTok about 30 seconds long about, oh my God, dating online in a time of COVID. Never too old, never too late. And I wore a Sex and the City Samantha wig. And I channeled Samantha. One of my favorite characters. And so that's how I became a dating coach. People started asking me to help them. And I just started helping them.
And you specialize in online dating.
I specialize in online dating. I am not a relationship coach. What I teach you how to do is figure out who you are, what you want, how to visualize and manifest, how to release past baggage, how to get on a dating site and emote so you bring in the right person or persons, because there's more than one Mr. Adorable or Ms. Adorable out there. So I do that, and then I'll teach you like the first 3 or 4 dates. I'll coach you through that, but I do not want to be a relationship coach, and I'm not a therapist. So, and I've been to marriage counselors, and I don't want to do that either. So no, I just teach you how to get on a dating site, stay safe, have fun, and get the person that you want.
I'm sorry. I am so wishing we were recording video. You are so animated, and you get so excited. This is going to be fabulous.
I do. I get super excited because I want to empower everyone. You know, I'm 71, and I had to do it at 51, and then again at 68, and then at 69, and then at 70. And I'm at 70 going, I don't want to do this again. And I found a guy who doesn't want to do it again either. And so we've bonded, and we've committed to an exclusive long-term, however it holds, relationship, but we do not have to be married. And we cannot be married at the moment because it's way too complicated for each of us. So it's awesome because I found exactly the perfect match. But I don't want to call it that because I don't believe in the perfect match. Because then that puts people in a little box and you go, oh, they're not 100% exactly what I want. No, no, no. We're looking for like an 85% fit on all the critical deal breakers.
Remind me to come back to critical deal breakers.
There's a lot of those.
Okay, older women I know are reluctant to join online dating sites. I have some of my friends saying, you actually did that. Now, romance scams are all over the news. What do you hear from older women about their reluctance to date online?
Well, I coach privately, and I have several right now that are widows and have not dated for anywhere from 5 to 15 years. And they really don't understand what it's like now. So one of my, in my course or in my coaching, I have a specific section where we go deep into smoking out scammers, growing your little antenna for figuring out if they're telling the truth, digging into your gut, reading between the lines, making a list of things that you're not sure about in their profile or they didn't talk about at all. You know, and then how to stay safe, either run a background, you know, you have to get them either in an email format or on the phone, but you figure out if they're real and you get last name, phone number, place of business or place they used to work and age, city of residence, and you run a background check. Background checks are relatively inexpensive compared to dating sites. So it was like $25 a month and you can run as many as you want. So I teach my gals to do that. If they don't trust their instincts and they can't figure out from the social media profiles that the guy is who he says he is, then you've got to do drill down. And I say to the guys, you know, I get that you sound amazing and we're getting along really great here. And I love our email exchange. A, I need to get on the phone and hear your voice and sense your energy and see if you can keep up with me. And B, I need to know your last name if we're going to ever date. And they give it to you. If they're real and they're not scammers and they're not love bombers, you get that information. And then I say to them, okay, so-and-so, you know, here's my name. I'm a published author. You can see who I am. I'm going to check you out on social media. Are you on social media? Because some of the dating sites will verify their social media profiles, but some of them won't. So it's up to you. So then I check them out. I go to their Facebook. I go to LinkedIn. Most of the guys I date either on really good LinkedIn profiles or Facebook because I date professional men, semi-retired or retired. But if you can't find all that, then you have to say to them, I have to run a background check on you because I cannot verify who you are. They're going to run. If they're a scammer, the minute you tell them you're going to run a background check, boom, you are disconnected and you are blocked. Good. You know, and sometimes the sites are catching them too. So scammers are out there. But you know what, scammers? I got scammed by a fiance that I met through a friend from church. Scammers are not just on online dating. And we have been together 15 months. So there's no guarantee. You just got to know how to feel around the situation and cut them off and don't give them personal information until you know you can handle it.
Ooh, I don't know if you're talking me into it or talking me out of it.
You gotta be prepared. But no,
I do understand that, yeah, like just be so prepared and so on top of it. And
yep. Don't be gullible and don't take things for granted. And don't assume because they're telling you how wonderful you are and you're the best thing they've ever met and you're exactly what they're looking for, that they're telling the truth. Don't assume. Anybody's telling the truth. You know?
Well, My thought is I probably am exactly what they're looking for, but I'm just not sure they're what I'm looking for.
Well, and that's the other part too. It's got to be mutual.
Ah, dear. I don't have an ego at all. Okay. Our listener has decided to give it a try. How should someone, and I think you talked about the spidey senses once they're there, but how do they need to prepare themselves to date?
So here's the first thing. You have got to be in a happy state. You have to love yourself. You have to be comfortable that you're not going to be a match for everyone, and that's okay. You also have to be comfortable that there's going to be weird people out there. There's going to be toads, and there's going to be icky, slippery, little eely type people. You know, there's just going to be weird stuff. It's not going to be you know, you're not in a high school. I call it the Sadie Hawkins Day dance in the sky. It's up to you to pick the guy out, but you're not in a high school. You can't get background on these people. You don't have the friends network telling you who they are and who they're not and what they did. You have to do this by reading their profile and asking questions. But when you first decide to date, you have to know who you are and what you want. And that's an exercise I take people through, because that is not a trivial question. And it can take some of my gals anywhere from 2 full days to 2 full weeks to fill out all the forms that I have for them and answer the questions and think deeply about exactly who they are and what they want and what they don't want. Too many people like me, when I was 51, I put up a profile by saying, have dog, will travel, threw up some pictures, answered a bunch of questions, and went, here I am, come get me. Because I didn't know who'd want me after 31 years in a relationship with a guy from when I was 19. I was clueless. Oh my God. That is not the way to do it anymore. You have to get more prepared. You have to be savvy, prepped, ready, and aware, because you got to handle anything that comes at you.
As you were telling me about, like, is it a questionnaire where people fill out stuff? It sounds like that's just a good life exercise, let alone for dating.
It is. It's prep for a vision board. It's prep for your next phase of life. It was prep for how I bought my new house. It was prep for everything. Who am I and what do I want now? And then what's my vision for a year from now? For 5 years from now. I don't go farther than 5 because I'm 71. I used to go 10, but I don't want to think that hard. 81 is scary. I don't want to go there.
I don't think 81's going to be scary for you at all.
I hope not. My boyfriend wants to be active in all ways in our 90s. So
there you go. Okay, now you have a talking point. 5 biggest mistakes boomer gals make with their online profiles. Explain.
First one is not getting prepared.
Okay.
Second one is not knowing what you want, just putting up a profile like I did. Third one is not taking initiative. Fourth one is using fake pictures, like you don't like how you look now, so you pick one from 15 years ago. No. And the fifth one is not responding to guys who look somewhat interesting, but aren't, you know, gorgeous. Some people will go, oh, I don't want to talk to him. Talk to them all. Get practice with talking, flirting in words, you know, learning how to connect, learning how to talk to someone new. It's so important that we accept this phase as a growth phase and a wonderful time and a time to experience wonderful, interesting people and go wonderful, interesting places and, you know, be treated like a queen. The right guys will treat you like a queen. Why shouldn't we get that at this stage of our lives?
Okay, you touched upon this. We boomers come from a generation of youth cells, but now we have wrinkles. We have some extra weight. We have those insecurities from broken relationships. And media certainly tells us we're way past our best before date. What is the first thing anyone who wants to date online, like, how do we get past that?
You do take stock of yourself. If you see me without makeup and without a foundation garment, you'll be like, oh my God, what happened to her? So each of us needs to say, what are my best qualities? How can I present myself in the best light? If I'm 25 pounds overweight, I'm going to dress a certain way and take pictures a certain way so it's not as obvious. But I'm also not going to say in my profile, slim or slender. I'm going to say average, because the average person is 20 to 30 pounds overweight. Okay. And most of the guys at our age are not bodybuilding Adonises. And they've got little paunches and they're balding and they're, you know, they're nervous and they have ED. And so they have to deal with that. And we have to accept where we are. We also have to paint ourselves in the best possible light, because it is competitive out there. And if we know we've let something go, go and get a haircut, go and get a makeover, go buy some new date, I call it dating clothes, Ms. Adorable Butterfly cloak. You know, go buy some Ms. Adorable Butterfly that makes you feel like, this makes me feel pretty. I have a dark green scoop neck and a beautiful bronzy necklace, and it makes me feel pretty. And it goes with my skin and my hair. So dress yourself up. Don't look too expensive or too high maintenance. But when you're taking pictures for those sites, your best aspect and your best attributes is what you want to portray.
When you're talking there, you brought to mind a woman I used to know when I was very young, mid to late 20s. And we ended up for a very short time sharing an apartment. And she'd get up super, super early because it took her 2 hours to do her day makeup. And then after work, she'd come home, she'd wash all that off, and she'd spend another 2 hours doing her evening out dancing makeup. And she was beautiful. But it occurred to me that, like, what's going to happen if she actually goes home with someone and he wakes up in the morning to the real her? Because the real her was very nice looking, but plain compared to how she painted herself up. And it's that fine line. I mean, I'm a thrift store, no makeup kind of person. And, you know, I'm okay putting makeup on from time to time, but this is rare that I do that. So once again, I guess the man also has to be prepared to accept you for what you are.
I wear wigs. One of the first things I tell the guys when I'm connecting with someone I like, by the way, when we meet, I might have a wig on or I might have my natural hair. I'm not telling you which yet. And they go, you wear wigs? I go, yeah, that picture you like, that's a wig. That's a marketing picture. That was a wig. There, that picture there, that's a baseball cap. Well, do you have hair? Yeah, but it's wimpy hair. You know, so I condition them. And one of my rules is before I get intimate with someone or go home with someone and we're going to get, you know, physical, we have to have been swimming together or in a hot tub together, or I even have full body naked massages with no sex. So you can get used to each other's bodies before you have to get down to the deed. And guys actually appreciate it because when I take all my makeup off, I'm quite plain. I'm blonde on blonde on blonde. There's no lip definition. There's almost no eyelashes. I have no eyebrows. I look like a bald egg, you know? I mean, literally, a hairless egg. And I condition them. I say, you know, this looks really pretty, but you need to see what I look like without it. So that's going to be one of our steps toward deciding if we're a relationship or not. I literally get my guys to a point where, you know, we've gone out to dinner a few times, we've gone to a concert, we've gone hiking. I'll get natural to go hiking. I'll just put on some sunblock, a little bit of lipstick, and a baseball cap. And I'm like, this is the real me. The zits are showing, because I still get zits at 71. You know, and the wrinkles are all there. I mean, I don't have as many as some, but because I didn't smoke and I don't go in the sun a lot, but they're there. You get me in daylight, I got all the marks around the lips and stuff. The right guy doesn't care. And one of the secrets when you're choosing someone online, you don't go, oh, that's a gorgeous guy, that's a gorgeous man. You look at every single person. Could I wake up to that face? Could I wake up to that face? Is there a twinkle in the eye? Is there a gentleness? Is there love? Do they look adorable? Because at my age, I'm not looking to be swept away by passion or gorgeousness. I let that happen, and I've had flings, and I've had, you know, love affairs and one-night stands, very few of those, but because I don't do anything on the first date. But it's so important that we not get hung up on just the outer appearance. My guys, they're losing their hair. They've got the sunspots and tons of wrinkles because they're outdoor guys. They got the little paunch because, you know, the wife is gone and they're drinking wine and beer at night. But they're wonderful men. And the man I'm with, 16 months, is amazing. And he might not be the most handsome, but he's my Mr. Adorable and I don't care. And I'm his Ms. Adorable. And he'll call me beautiful and gorgeous when I have walked out of the bedroom with greasy hair, no makeup, a big old t-shirt, and baggy pants, and bad breath. And he calls me gorgeous and beautiful. that's what you want.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds way better. Yeah, that's great. Now, you talked at the very beginning about manifesting. Mm-hmm. And I've actually read that at any age, we need to be the person who attracts the person we want to attract.
Yep.
Now I think you've touched on that throughout, but can you address it?
Sure. Manifesting is, for me, very deep. And I've been manifesting many, many years. It requires a lot of focus. When I get too distracted and I have too many things going on and I haven't focused in on what I really want to create for the next 30 to 90 days, things just kind of get helter-skelter. For me, manifesting is about, at night I express gratitude and I write in my journal. And in the journal, I talk about what I'm going to be doing for the next umpteen weeks and what my life is going to look like and who's going to be there with me and what we're going to be doing. And I build a story around it. And now that I'm in a relationship, I talk about what things we're going to be doing. And we're looking at living together in a couple of years. And what does that look like? And where is it? And what are we, you know, how do we work it out? But manifesting requires you to believe it already exists. Okay. It's not just about the visualization of what's to come. It's that you have now taken on that energy, which is, that man is in my life. That's where vision boards come in. I had done a vision board, and the man I'm with now is on that vision board, but I did the vision board 3 years before I met him. It doesn't show his face, but it shows the back of a man with his head, his hair, his shoulders, his height, his arm, sitting on a beach with the back of a woman who has blonde hair, and they're staring at it, and they're older. And I went, and I found it after I met him, and I went, oh my God, it's Eric. And I showed it to him and he said, oh my God. And it was 1 year before his wife passed away to the day. January 7, 2020, I built that vision board because I knew I had to leave my marriage and I left in October. But I built that vision board and I was going to leave early, but then they locked us down in March and I couldn't leave. I was leaving in February. And so I had to cope with all of that, but I had that vision board. And I had my crystals and I had my singing and I had my gratitude and I had, you know, my ability to go inside and say, this too shall pass. I am not here forever. I will create a new life. There's a guy for me, somewhere a guy for me, one who loved me just as I am, one who'll care if I give a damn, sung to the tune of Somewhere in Someday in West Side Story. And I would whistle that. The whole time I was with the man that I had to leave, I would whistle it when he walked in the room to say to myself, you're not going to be here forever. And I'd whistle it and he wouldn't know what I was doing and he would just kind of shrug his shoulders and walk away because he shunned me for 2 years. Wouldn't touch me, wouldn't talk to me.
Okay. You did mention something there, which you keep on giving me the segues. It's fabulous. I appreciate it. At this age, and I certainly have my own stories, divorced men or widowers? And yes, I realize to a certain extent we're going to be stereotyping, but I'm just curious what you'll say.
So what's interesting to me is that I've dated both. I married a divorced man. I divorced him. And the two long-term relationships, I've dated a lot of both, but the two long-term relationships that have worked for me are widowers. Here's my reason why I think that happens. I believe, even though I'm divorced, I'm an evolved divorcee. I don't hold any bitterness toward my second husband because I put him up against a pedestal of my first husband. I do have a bit of bitterness toward my first husband, but I've gotten past that because it's many years later, 20 years later. Divorced men also are carrying some bitterness. They're carrying some anger. And unless they have been to counseling and therapy and worked it out, or they're religious and they pray a lot, or they're very spiritual and they've worked on themselves, I find that divorced men have a shell. They have this wall, this armor. It may be very, very, very thin, but it's an armor. And you've got to figure out how to get through it and get to their core and their soft core, and it takes longer. Widowers, in my experience, walk in open and vulnerable, especially because they had a lovely, happy marriage, usually 30 to 40 years. My guy was married 44 years. The first Mr. Adorable was together with his lady for 31 and married the last 8. And they loved being in a couple. They had their situations that they had to work through, but they learned how to work through them in a loving way. Usually in a divorce, people have fought a lot. There's been a lot of tension. There's been a lot of anger. There's very few easy, amicable, just break up, we're done divorces. So for my current guidance to my students and clients is kind of focus on your widowers. And a lot of people are doing that now. So widowers are feeling a bit overwhelmed, which is why I have private client widower clients, because they don't know how to handle this. They are not used to being a hot commodity. And I run a senior singles meetup that's a not dating. We just go out and hang out and kayak and stuff like that. New widower joined the group. He has 5 extra kayaks. He's got all these women clamoring to be kayak trainees and kayak initiates. And he doesn't know what to do. He's calling me going, what the heck? I go, you're a hot commodity, honey. You're tall. You're good looking. You're handsome. You have a beautiful home. You kayak and you're a widower. A year. You're a year out from being a widower. Get ready.
Well, I actually work with the next age group up, the 80 and 90 year olds, and in like assisted living, I'll bump into a man who just says, I can't handle this.
Yeah.
Like, you're a single man and you're one, and there's like 10 to 20 women for every single man. So,
yeah.
Interesting what you say there, because I had one experience with a widower and I knew I'd never measure up. Never, ever would I measure up. And so, you know, after a while, you just go like, I'm not even going to try, you know, like I'm just out of here because it's just easier. So, yeah, it's sort of interesting.
And that can be part of it. And so both my Eric, I have permission to use his name now. Both Eric and I decided when we got on the dating sites one last time at 70, because he's only 2 months younger than me. And we had said to ourselves, I'm not trying to replace my good marriage or my great partner. I want someone to connect to love, to adore, to be physically connected to be intimate, to be loved and cherished. And I can do that separately. And one thing I will teach you is one of my marriage counselors, one of my therapists taught me this phrase, because I was really guilty about being married a second time and having had to walk away from that wonderful first marriage. And she said, the heart is a whorehouse. There's a room for everyone. Let that sink in. I taught that to all my widowers. I taught it to the divorced people too, because some people still were in love with the man, even though they had divorced him, or the woman. And you have to let your heart grow. You have to let yourself expand. And you have to be able to compartmentalize. So I still go deep into my memories of the first marriage. I still have daydreams about before the children arrived and the stress and the pain. And I don't begrudge myself those memories, because they also taught me what real love feels like and what care and tenderness feels like. And when it came in the form of Eric, I knew it was real. And I don't have to compete with his ex-wife, except in the home, because everything they own is in that house. 44 years of it, largely because she and I are similar personalities. We're both professional women who speak a lot on stages and are visible. And he's more quiet behind the scenes, but he's not a retiring person like my second husband. He's not super shy. He speaks in public. He was a teacher. He taught cons, agriculture, horticulture. I mean, the guy's amazing. And he's a big hiker. And so there's similarities between her and me, and he'll mention that. He'll say, oh, that's what Kay used to do. Oh, that's what my wife used to say. Oh, you like the same thing Kay does. And it's okay for him to do that. I don't feel threatened or insecure. And I made him put her picture back out. One of his girlfriends made him put it away. For his birthday, I found a picture of the two of them together and I put it on the family table photo display. I said, she needs to be here today, Eric. She needs to be here with you to honor you on your birthday. And he got tears in his eyes.
Yeah, and I find too that perhaps part of this time of life, with more and more mid-age women initiating the divorces, that often those divorced men are still not over, you know, so they almost don't know what to do alone. So they jump back into that dating pool.
Yeah. You need a grieving cycle. A divorce is a death too. Yeah. The death of a marriage. And in my case, I can't talk to my first husband because his second wife won't have anything to do with me. And there might be a good reason, but I'm not sharing that. She was a girlfriend before they got together. So anyway, but yeah, divorce is a whole different loss. And he's still in the world. The widower or the widow has lost the person and they're not in the world. So there's sometimes guilt around finding someone new and bringing someone new into the life. On the divorce side, it's more like, well, I need to do this again. I don't want to be alone. And it's kind of like you just go out there and make it happen because it's more intense somehow, I feel, because we're still looking for a good relationship to have as a nice memory. And the last one might not have been so good. Whereas the widower or widow had, most of my people have had lovely relationships up until they lost their person to death, you know? And so it's just a different dynamic.
Okay, I'm going to go slightly sideways here. You say you help your health coaching clients overcome internal blocks.
Yeah.
Now, I've done enough personal work to know I may still have some internal blocks that I haven't identified yet. Can you explain how you figure out what those are? Is there like a language we use?
It's a lot of gut and intuition, and it's having been a health coach for 20 years. It's having been in high tech and in business. It's having had adopted children. It's all the experiences I bring to the table, the multiple years of my own therapy and counseling delivered to me. And it's listening and probing. So if you said something, if you were a client and you said to me, I'm going to pull up someone I just worked with last night, in fact, what did she say? She talked about a man she dated briefly and how she walked into that relationship in great shape and feeling good about herself. You know, it was a year or two after her husband had passed, and he proceeded to tell her she was chunky. She was the chunkiest woman he'd ever been with.
And she stayed?
And she stayed with him for six other times. They were together over a 6-month period, one visit a month, because she didn't want to, it's far away and she had to fly there and stuff, even though he was a pilot and he would fly her there. But she wanted to limit it because that was on the second date. It shattered her self-confidence. But I didn't know all of that. She showed up on my meetup one night and just said to me, well, I just don't think I have the confidence to date. I don't think I'm pretty enough. I don't think I look good enough. And I looked at her on the camera and I said, you're adorable. Talking about, I know so many guys that would love to date you. And she just looked at me and she says, I don't think so. I said, okay, we're going to talk some more. And she ended up a client. And so what I could do is take that little statement and expand on it and have her expand on it. And it was, here's how I felt. Here's what it did to my self-confidence. This is what I ended up doing. Now I can't fit into any of those clothes. Now I don't have confidence I can date again. So all those blocks came up. And it's a process of just digging deep and peeling away the layers in a safe place, in a safe zone, so that you can be honest with yourself. Because most of us are going to tamp down those feelings. We're going to try and hold them back, and we're going to try and date anyway. No. You can't date from that place, from an emotional block. You will end up drawing in the same kind of people because your energy hasn't been cleared, and you will end up telling yourself you're the problem. You're a failure. But it's not you.
Okay, I'm going to go in the other direction now, and I don't know if this qualifies as an internal block or just, I don't know, a personality thing, but I certainly know women who can't be without a man.
Mm.
And that seems to be not a healthy place to go dating from.
Yeah, that would not be a healthy place, because what they'll usually do is grab the first one that responds, the first one that reaches out. And I have another client, and I've been coaching her because she is one of those. She has decided she can't be without a man. She spent 6 years without a man after 2 failed marriages, came to my class, my workshop online, and went through the process, went through a course with me, got on dating sites, ended up connecting with someone she had known 15 years prior in a meetup group, ended up accepting him as a boyfriend, and comes back into the meetup group and says, well, he doesn't turn me on, but he does my laundry and he takes me out to dinner and he wants to go on trips with me, but he doesn't have the money I'm looking for and he doesn't have the sex drive I'm looking for, but I'm staying with him. And I said, why? Wasn't that one of your big criteria? But she's decided she wants to be with a man, and it's this man because it's easier. She doesn't want to give up what she's got to look for a better fit, because she's not completely confident she can find one. And she probably needs to talk to me some more. But right now I'm kind of letting her work through this by figuring out if this is enough, because my relationship the year before this one was 85% okay, but 15%, I mean, he had ED, which wasn't fun, and he was a bigot, which also wasn't fun, and we weren't ideologically aligned. And so maybe it's more like 70-30. You will talk yourself into accepting whatever you have to, like I did my last marriage, because you don't want to be alone. I can handle being alone now. And that's the key. We have to get to the point we love ourselves exactly as we are, and love who we're becoming, who we're manifesting into, and love who we're drawing to us because of who we are and who we're becoming. It should be a constant evolutionary process. And if you accept someone who's marginal, now you have to dumb yourself down to stay with them. You don't get to grow. I didn't get to grow in that last marriage until I decided I was leaving. And then I grew by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, as you talk, like real people come to mind.
Well, yeah,
we're not
exactly
going to go there either. Now, you do talk about senior strays. You used that term earlier. Loneliness in our older years is well documented. Is that a good reason to get out there in terms of dating?
Yeah, that's why I got out there. That's why Eric got out there. He's not a full senior stray. He's got his whole family around him here. But he was alone at home. He was alone a lot. He didn't have anyone to talk to, no one to talk about his day and what he was doing in his nursery and all the other things. And I was alone. I had my dog, and my poor dog is tired of hearing it. And I thought, I don't want to be alone. I'm not a person who likes to be, I like to be alone in spurts, but I love being in groups. I've, you know, been a speaker. I'm a trainer. I'm a network marketer. I'm a manager. I'm used to being in groups and emoting and sharing and training and coaching. And to be alone for 8 months when I first moved here was, I was like deaf, especially during COVID. And then we had all these fires and we couldn't leave our homes. It was 114 degrees. There were smoke and ash in the air, you know, because Canada had the same issues like a year later. And so it's like you're giving up on your life too soon. And senior strays, that's why I started my group. And we're all senior strays in my group online. And I do just a local one, but there's many, many senior strays Facebook groups out there. And there's other meetup groups out there. And there's ways to connect that don't require us to date. But I believe that dating is helpful to keep your spirits up, to force you to get out of bed, to put on some makeup, to put on some decent clothes, to take a walk, to do an exercise routine. Dating keeps you fit and thinking and relating.
Yeah, I'm leaving the pregnant pause. That's great. Okay, now the question, and this is not a personal question, this is in your professional role. I've chatted with sex therapists on podcast. What's your take on intimacy and sex after 60?
I have a whole chapter on it in my course, and it's called Going Slow or Quick Intimacy. I have 20 questions that you have to think through before you become intimate, and they need to be customized for each person. But for me, because I was too quick to give in to a sexual urge, and I would end up with the wrong person because I just was basically horny and wanted to be touched and wanted to have some intimacy. And the fun thing about intimacy after 50, 60, 70 is you're dealing with things like ED, you're dealing with premature ejaculation, you're dealing with the woman who's, you know, not had it for a while and now we're atrophied or it's postmenopausal and we have to do all these special things to take care of it. So the first thing I tell people is the biggest piece of foreplay is communicate, communicate, communicate. That's why I have a sleepover with no sex. That's why I have naked massages with no sex. That's why I sit down with them and take them through my 20 questions that are not anything about physical. They're about how they treat people, how they look at the world, how they live, what they want in their life. And if those 20 questions, if you're one of my top three suitors, and I take you through those questions and we sit on the couch and we go through them one by one and you give me an honest answer, then I decide if I'll go to bed with you and if you're going to be my next exclusive, committed, long-term toward love affair. We make a decision together.
Okay. And I've also heard, and I'm sure this puts a lot of people, sort of makes them back away, is that STDs are on the rise amongst our age group.
So you got to have a test. Mm-hmm. If you're super active and you're going to be one of the guys I'm dating and we decide we want to be intimate, you're going to have a test. So usually by the fourth or fifth date, they're pushing for intimacy. Some of them push for it on date one because that was their practice before they got married. And, you know, I bat their little hand away and go, we don't do that on the first date. I need to know more about you, you know. And then I basically have to, you have to do a little bit of a sexual history. Well, how many women have you been with? And, you know, what do you know about them? And, you know, where have you been in the last 2 months? And la, 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 la. I mean, you almost have to be like a doctor. And you have to investigate. You have to be an investigative reporter and a background checker. And you both should probably get a test to get cleared if you aren't sure. You know, so yeah, it is something you have to be wary of. It's like being back in the 70s in college. I was in college 70 to 74. My rule for dating was non-smoker, not married, and no STDs or no VD. No venereal disease then. And that was my big rule, because if you asked me out, you had enough taste, I would go out with you. So I had lots of dates in college, first dates and second dates and two or three boyfriends. But then I got married at 21. So
what I've heard the whole time you've been talking is just the fact, my mother would say, don't be backward and coming forward. So you've really got to be open and willing to put that person on the spot and be put on the spot in those conversations about the things that matter.
Absolutely. Especially at our age, we don't have time to waste. So don't beat around the bush. Be cute and sweet and comfortable and make them feel good about it. What I'll do is I'll just say, I have a tough question I need to ask you. It's going to be really personal. And if you want to keep going in this relationship, we're going to need to talk about it. Okay? Set the stage. Don't just blurt the question out. And they might look at you and go, I don't think I can handle that right now. I go, fine. But know that I have some tough questions we're going to have to get through. And it's going to come sooner rather than later. So if they start advancing sexually, I'm going to say, remember that tough question? I don't have my answers yet. What do you want to do? So you put it back in their court. And it's basic, just be very calm and comfortable that you have a right to be safe and to be honored and respected. And know what those 20 questions for suitors before exclusivity are for you.
It's funny how so many things in life come back to that respect word, isn't it?
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah. And mutual respect, because I didn't really get it in my last marriage, but I've received it in many relationships since, because I manifest it. Don't date me if you're not going to respect me. And don't date me if you can't handle me 100% unbottled, unadulterated, undiluted.
There you go. I got to remember that one. Okay, I've thrown some questions at you. You've certainly given us a lot. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you think mid-age women considering dating should think about that we haven't touched on?
My samurai code: knock down 7 times, get up 8.
Okay.
Don't let anything keep you down, and never give up.
Is there a place in there where, you know, when you're knocked down, like you stop and think, why was I knocked down?
Take a break.
And then whether you need to grow or maybe you need to deal with something yourself. Like, it's not always his fault.
What new tool or skill do I need to acquire as my samurai warrior? Do I need to learn to shoot arrows? Or fire bombs?
There you go.
You know, I mean, I try to make everything fun. And I look at it as a life experience and a growth cycle. And I no longer get really hung up on, I'm not married. You know, I don't have a guy to come home to every night. I like being an independent female, and I like being a Ms. Adorable Butterfly, because the Ms. Adorable Butterfly goes out and says, oh, is there a flower here worth landing on? Oh, is there any pollen I can have today? Or any nectar, because they're more the nectar people. I like being the butterfly because I don't have to take anything that seriously. And then when I find a really nice place that is going to take care of me for a really long time, then I can stay there and I'll find my Mr. Adorable.
Do you have any experience with women who find that person and, like you currently, are really happy having 2 households? So they don't live together. They do not get married, but they are exclusive.
It's happening more and more. It happens more and more after age 60, especially for me. It's taken me a while to recover from my divorce, and I'm still financially taking care of things. Eric's wife passed. His mother is close, and she's got a big inheritance she's leaving. And nobody wants him getting married again to some cute little whatever while that is still happening. So he and I have discussed that, and he knows it's not viable. And I told him I'm not in any hurry to get married again. Ask me at 75, then we'll see. 4 years from now, we'll think about it.
Heavy on the think. Think with a capital T.
Yeah. You know, I'm not in a hurry. And there are lots of people like that. Many of the women that I talk to in my workshops and on my coaching groups, they don't want to be married again. They want someone to go hiking with and traveling with and make dinner for occasionally, and have sleepovers and be intimate and be loved by. but they don't want to give up their house and they don't want to move in with someone. And they don't necessarily want to be married because they've got kids and they've got wills and living trusts and whatever.
Yeah, there's so many other things that happen at this age. That's great.
Yeah, you mentioned exactly.
Those. Yeah. Now, you've got a course, and I love the name of it, The Boomer Gal's Guide to Winning at Online Dating.
Yeah.
Tell us about your course. I think you've been throwing us snippets here and there.
I love my course. It was so funny because I had just launched it after finding my first Mr. Adorable. And I had 12 people going into the class in January of 2023. And 2 weeks into the class, it's an 8-week course, 2 weeks into it, I break up. Well, now I have no Mr. Adorable. Where's my credibility? So I went, well, you fool, just use your course. So I picked up my course. I skipped the first section. Who are you? What do you want? I jumped into release, visualize, and recharge. I worked through those processes and exercises. And by the third thing, it was create a profile. So I went, okay, I know what I want. I know what I'm going to do. Boom. And I did it. And I found a guy in 3 weeks. I used my course. So it's got four parts. And phase one is self-discovery. And that's who are you? What do you want? What worked and didn't work in past relationships? Then we move to release, visualize, recharge. That's phase two. And we hang out there for a couple of weeks. And it's all about, what do I want now? How do I make sure I get rid of all these sad memories or push them to where I need them to be? I don't need to dwell on them because manifesting requires you to stay in a positive energy state. So we're going to cut the cords. We're going to burn the notes. We're going to do the things we have to do to release. We're going to visualize. We're going to build a vision board. We're going to recharge. We're going to do affirmations. We're going to do the manifestations. We're coming into the group. We're getting supported and coached and loved by all the women with us, by the coach. We're going to use our vision board to stay focused on what we're bringing to us. We move from release, visualize, recharge to put yourself out there. And that's where I take you through my entire package of how to build a profile the right way to draw the best possible matches to you and quickly screen out the losers and the scammers and the love bombers, because you're going to turn them off. They're going to read that profile and they're going to go, nope, I'm not going to pick on her. She's too strong. We don't want to attract them. We don't want to look vulnerable. So we're not going to. So we put ourselves out there. And then there's a whole section on the dating dance, the 20 questions for suitors, the sorting questions. How do you sort through all the choices on the dating sites? There's a whole section on dating sites, which dating sites, how to stay safe, background checks, how to use a dating site the right way, and the dating dance. And then ultimately, you should be getting on phone calls and having dates by the end of the course.
I remember one time when this is going back years now, but when I was getting off a dating site because I was tired of all of the above, I laid it on the line. I said, I am sick and tired of you guys that put on a picture from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Not all of you can be hikers and canoers and kayakers and all the rest of it. I went on and I really let loose. I had so many guys reach out to me saying, oh my God, you are so on the money. We're so sorry you're getting off this site. So it was kind of fun. The best response I ever had was when I was just brutally honest.
And I tell my gals to be brutally honest, but I switch it up a bit. Instead of saying on a negative vein.
No.
Take it to the positive.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm a city gal. I like a museum. I like a lovely stroll. I can hike, but not a lot. If you want me on the water, well, I hope you're doing the paddling. Take it to the funny, cute, and you'll attract the right guy. My guy, he's a canoer and a hiker and a kayaker, and so am I. I put on the makeup and I look gorgeous, but I can go either way. And I say that in my profile. I'm a young at heart, 71-year-old, and here's what I do. And I can dress up with the best of them, but I love to get down and dirty. I am a gardener and I get filthy in my garden, and I just give them a picture of a real person. And that's what they love. And then if they haven't done the same thing. If I see a twinkle in the eye or a cute rakish tilt of a hat or a great background photo because they were traveling, I'll hook up with them even though they have two lines. Hook up in the sense of pinging them and messaging them, not in the bed. So, you know, and I'll say, so I like, you know, that you're standing in front of the Tower of Pisa or whatever it is, and your hat is really great. I love your fedora. Tell me more about you, because there's not much on your profile. And then they'll go, and I'll say, and please check out my profile if you want to talk. And then they'll go check me out. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, well, here's what I didn't put in my profile, blah, 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 blah. And I like treating it like someone set me up as a blind date, and I have to get to know them. And I want to make it inviting and fun, but I also want them to know who I am for real.
As well as all those great photos that you talked about at the beginning, mm-hmm. I did also put a picture on my profile of me sitting on a stool in my garage, greased up, cleaning the carbs on my fun car.
And they would love that. Oh my God, I have so many guys I'm coaching that want to meet you right now. They have all these old classic cars in their garage and they want to go work on them.
Don't make me cry. I just gave mine away about 6 months ago. So. Okay, where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
FindingMrAdorable.com is the website, FindingMr, adorable.com, only one dot. And then if you're on Meetup, you can join. I have a Canadian participant on my Meetup, and it's meetup.com/boomer-gals-date-online.
Okay, repeat after me. I promise to send Agnes the Meetup link the minute we're finished here.
Oh, and if you like TikTok, you can go see some of my riffs on dating and kisses and all stuff way deep in the profile. And my TikTok is at DEBRC coach.
Okay, there we go.
And that's what made me a dating coach.
Okay, before we close, can I ask you a personal question?
Absolutely.
And you just used the word. You have a talking point. Kissing on the first date.
Yes.
Yay or nay.
So it's a requirement. I had one guy that didn't kiss me. He thought he was being gentlemanly. He also knew I was on TikTok because it was a 6-hour date and we pretty much talked about everything. He became my first Mr. Adorable. And I honored his gentlemanly handshake. And I think we hugged a little bit because he's a widower. And he wasn't really familiar with the online dating scene. So for me, because I'm at the point where I want sparks and physical connection, I want that sizzle. And most of the guys do too. So we're not going to know instantly with one kiss that it's, oh my God, let's go to bed, you know, but we're going to know if we like the kiss and if we want another one later. And that's how I did it. And so I would go on my first dates with usually about 5 or 6 guys in a month. And we would have our conversations and we'd be having our meal or we'd be walking around the park or whatever we're doing. And then we would go to say goodbye and we would kind of hug each other. And then either they would ask for a kiss or we would just sort of lips would connect. And then we'd hang out there for a while going, oh, I like this. This is nice. You know, and then we'd break away and we'd smile and we'd say, but we'd already talked about a second date at that point. So I do not kiss every person on a first date unless I've already said I'm interested in a second date, because that gives them the signal I like them. And that sets the stage for the kiss. If they're toads, which I've had several toads, I don't kiss them on the first date. I don't hug them on the first date. They'll be lucky if I shake my hand on their first date. If they're toads, I want to get out of there as fast as possible. They're not getting a kiss. But cute ones, the ones that make me kind of tingle, that know how to flirt, that treat you like a lady, they get a kiss.
Okay, that's a great way to wrap. Your website link is in the show notes. All of the links are going to be on your page at our website.
Awesome.
Listeners, I'm really hoping you have thoughts on today's show. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Or did I miss a burning question for Deb? Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. take 2 minutes right now to leave stars and reviews. If you're listening at Apple or Spotify, they do help grow our reach. Share this episode. I opened by saying I was happily single, but would never say never. You may well have a friend who is not as happily single as you thought, and they'll appreciate hearing Deb's thoughts. Thoughts, I say thoughts, but you are quite vocal. Thank you. A new feature to help the Boomer Woman's podcast grow, you can buy me a coffee. That's a pretty cheap option, given my taste in coffee. But you can subscribe to Buy Me a Coffee each month, and that does gain you some, shall we say, age-specific perks. That link is in the show notes and above Deb's head on her page at our website. I've also registered at Substack. Following there is free. All sorts of options nowadays. Deb Dutcher, thank you for being my guest today and reassuring us that dating, online dating, is definitely a possibility for us, even after 60.
Well, I thank you, Agnes Knowles, and I just want to say to all your listeners, you know, you can do this. It's available to you. Take it on if that's what you want.
Perfect. Have a great rest of week.
You too.